Now we're holding on Chofhei Amud Beis, the second line. The Mishnah had said Moberes Chaveri Chula. The Mishnah had mentioned continuing with the list of women who are not able to drink the Mei Sota because we said they're not suitable to they're not supposed to be married to their husbands. So we had on a few cases we had a machlokas. We had Reb Meir and the Chachamim arguing where a woman was pregnant, or nursing, and then somebody else married her, which he's not supposed to do as long as until the baby is 24 months old to give her time to wean him. So Reb Meir had said, as we're going to go on to say in the Gemara, that since they're supposed to get divorced, she's not isha hora uyaloi, therefore the drinking the mei sota can't apply to her. So if she becomes a sota, then as usual, we're going to have to consider that there's no mei sota and they have to divorce and she forfeits her ksuba. On the other hand, the Chachamim said, the fact is that they could always divorce and then remarry later, or even separate and remarry later. It's machlokas haposkim, whether they actually need to divorce or whether it's enough for them to just separate. Anyway, then the Mishnah had continued. You also have the case of various women who are infertile. And Iloinus, a woman who's old, or a woman that's Einar Ru'uya Leilid, who's incapable of having children. Rashi on the Mishnah gave an example where she drank Kois Shal Ikrin, she drank some kind of potion that made her infertile. So there you also have a Machlokas, where the Tanakhama says that, again, she can't drink because, again, she's not supposed to be married to her husband. Her husband is supposed has to do Piri Verivia, and how can he do it with such a wife? Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, after all, he could have a second wife and do Piri Verivia with her and still be married to this woman. So now we're going to be talking about those. So first let's focus on that second one, on the case of the Ilonis, the old woman, and the infertile woman. So Omer of Nachman, Omer of Bavua, Machlokas Ba'akoros Kena. The Machlokas is only as far as a woman who is infertile. Whether because she drank a potion, whether because, for example, Rashi over here says that it could also be that she got injured, whatever the case. The point is that one time she was fertile, but now she's not anymore. Or it was Kano, a woman who's old. She used to be fertile, and now she went through menopause and is not. So then would be the machlokas. It's not that to begin with they weren't able to have children, just now in their current circumstances they have. So now, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that they're able to drink the Mei Sota, and the Chacham say that not. Aval Ilonis, but Rabbi Nachman says, and Ilonis, who to begin with congenitally is unable to have children, Divrei Hakel, Lo Shoysav, Lo Natalis Ksubasa, then Rabbi Nachman says everybody would agree, even Rabbi Eliezer, that she can't drink the Mei Sota or collect her ksuba, shenema, because the pasuk is v'niksa v'nizra azara. It says she'll be cleansed if she's innocent of the whole suspicion of sota, and she'll have children. So therefore, that means misha davka lahazriya. So we learn from that it refers only to a woman whose normal way is to have children. So at least an akora and a skena, at one time they were able to have children. Then therefore, you have Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer, whatever, could hold that she's able to. But an ilonis, no. So, as opposed to an Ilonis where that's not the case. So, like Moses Masevi, now I have a contradiction. A Braisa says like this, it goes through a number of the cases of our Mishnah and expands on them. First of all, if he gives the warning when she's an Arusa or when she's a Shemeras Yav. So then, is she able to drink the Mei Sota? So we learned at the beginning of the parak that they're not able to. But imach like konsan nistira. So if the stira took place before he actually fully married her, lo shonsa, then she's not going to drink, because we learned at the beginning of the parak from tachas isha and tachas isheich that such women don't drink. So therefore, v'leina telas ksubasa, so she won't drink and she won't get her ksuba either. The Braisa is not going through the details of what happens if the stira was later on, because fine, for our purposes, we don't need to know that. We already discussed that point earlier in the parak. Continues the Braisa, when you have a woman who is pregnant from somebody else or is nursing a baby from somebody else, and then he married her where he wasn't supposed to, So again, Rav Meir says that they don't drink the mei sota and they don't collect the ksuba if they're suspected of being a sota. Because Rav Meir had said you're not allowed to marry such a woman when she's pregnant or nursing for reasons that we discussed in the Mishnah, because then she may become pregnant and it may harm the baby that she's already carrying or the baby that she's already nursing, because the milk will dry up. And if he marries such a woman, Rav Meir says, Yotzi v'la yachzur elamis. He has to divorce her. He's never allowed to remarry her because the Chachamim penalized him for being over on their takana. Well, therefore, so then Rav Meir says, she's not Isha Haru'ilai. So the same way, for example, as we learned earlier in the Mishnah about Almana, Lakon, Gadol, and so forth, in such categories, where they're also either Daraisa or Drabbanan, the same way. Rav Meir says, she's also to him Drabbanan, therefore she can't drink. The Chum say we agree that he does have to divorce her, but when it comes time for him to remarry her, he'll be able to remarry her, and therefore you can't say that she's not an Isha Hora Uyalai.
But if she was expected to them, she might have been with another man in between, then she wouldn't be allowed to be married.
No, the point is, in other words, but the point is that if we're talking about while they're married. We're not talking about during the time when they're separated or divorced. We're talking about while they're still fully married. She became a sota. So now the Chachamim are saying it's true. We agree with you that maybe he shouldn't have married her in the first place, and we Chachamim would tell him to divorce her and remarry her only after the 24 months. But ultimately, now she's still Isha Haru'uyalai, because even if after the whole sota procedure he ends up divorcing her, it has to be, obviously, we said before, the husband is the one who has to bring her to Yerushalayim, to the Bis Mikdash. So obviously, therefore, it can't be taking place when she's divorced. We're talking about while they're still married. Rav Meir is saying that since they're supposed to get divorced and never remarry, she's not Isha Haru'uyalai. But Chum is saying, fine, let him go through the whole sota procedure with her. After that, if it turns out that everything's okay, then he can follow the takana of the Chacham and divorce her, and then 24 months later he can remarry her.
Look, because if she's
when she becomes a sota, she's also to him. But then after she drinks the mei sota, if she's innocent, then she's mutter to him, right?
If she's innocent.
Yeah, of course. If she's guilty, then she dies.
So. Either way, when they're going to Bezdin, she knows.
So that's the thing. When they go to
separating.
That's the thing. In other words, we're not talking about where right now they're already separated, because then there's no sota water to drink anyway. It has to be a married woman. So we're talking about that the Chachamim are saying he married her where he wasn't supposed to. Now she's suspected of being a sota. When they go to the local Beis Din to start the process, and then the Beis Din sends with them the two Talmid Chachamim, etc., the local Beis Din will tell them, look, you weren't supposed to be married in the first place. Right now, as a sota, she's off limits to you anyhow. You go ahead with the whole sota procedure. After that, if she makes it through it, then you'll come back over here. We'll arrange for you guys to divorce or to temporarily separate or whatever. And then when the baby is 24 months old, then you can remarry.
Don't have to even divorce. You could just separate.
Well, that's a machlokas haposkim, whether it's required for them to actually divorce or not. Obviously, if it's a kohen, then yeah. Anyway, okay. So continues the Braisa. V'horoyve, a young man. Rashi points out the word ravya in Aramaic is used to teach the word yelad. So roive in a similar vein means a young man. So a young man who maybe has not done the mitzvah pruvu yet. Shenosa akoro zkena. If he marries an infertile woman or an old woman. The ainla isho bonim meikra, and he doesn't previously have a wife and children before he was mekane for her. So therefore, in other words, at the time of the kinui, she's not roi for him. Therefore, so lo shosav lo nitelas ksuba. Therefore, also she doesn't drink nor does she collect ksuba for the same reason. She's not isha haru oyaloi. But Rabbi Lazar says, like he said in the Mishnah, yochol hu lisa acheres. What's the problem? Even now, after he was mekane for her, he could marry another wife, Valubus Hemena, and do pruvu with her. So therefore, you can't say even now, even before he married to the second wife, you can't say that this first one is Einar Uyaloi. So Tosfos actually wonders why the Braisa doesn't include the Ilonis together with the Akoro Riskena. Why isn't it mentioning all three of them together? Continues the Braisa. So here's where the Braisa gives us the other half So far we have all the cases where lo shosis, where again he was mekane for the aruso shemeres yavam. So and the stira took place before they got fully married, where she's muberes chavera menekes chavera, or where he's a roiva, a young man who didn't have a wife and children before him. Avol, but continues the braisa with the flip side. Hamakane la rusasa v'shemeres yavam shalai umishakonsa nistra. If he's mekane for them and to the aruso, the shemeres yavam, and after he married her, the stira took place. So then the wounding that he gave her while she was in aruso, shemeres yavam, is effective.
But she's not aruso anymore. She's married.
That's the point. In other words, when she was in aruso, he was mekane to her. Oh, now they fully got married. They did the chuppah, they did the nisui and everything. And now there was the stira. Then that triggers the sota procedure. And now, in other words, what we're saying is, once there's a kinui, if there's a stira, then it creates a problem. The difference is, if the stira took place when they were oros and arusa, then that's not going to result in that she can drink, because we learned before, you have to have, it's not takas isheth, in most cases, it's not kod meshchivas ba'al laboyol, here, once there was the nisuin, then the earlier kinui takes effect now. And now, therefore, the stira that took place after she was married is effective, and now we can go ahead with the sota procedure. Same thing with shemeres yavam. Then you have the usual thing. Either she drinks, or if she doesn't want to drink or whatever, then she doesn't get her ksuba. Same thing. What if she's pregnant or nursing? What if she's pregnant or nursing from himself? So she herself, in other words, they're married. She became pregnant at some point, or she's nursing a baby of his at some point, and then she becomes a sota. So then also, same thing. Either we give her the drink, or she forfeits uksuba. The point is, Rashi explains. In other words, that Rashi explains we don't say that we need to take baby into consideration, and therefore maybe we shouldn't have her drink until she gives birth or until she weans the baby. Rashi says that no, we don't worry about that. We go ahead with the sota procedure. What?
This whole thing is a miracle from Hashem anyhow.
Right, but so Tosfos actually learns differently. Tosfos learns that no, what it means is Tosfos says that no, if we are going to wait until the baby is born or weaned, as the case may be, we don't want to harm the baby unnecessarily. Tosfos actually points out, when you get down to it, even if you're going to say, fine, you can say the baby is considered part of the mother, ubo yarech imayhu, nevertheless, actually Tosfos doesn't say those words in so many words, but anyway, the point is that the fact is, the babies, in a certain sense, belong to the husband. We find the case where the Torah says, where a person hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, where he has to pay the husband a certain compensation. So there's no reason we should go and harm the baby unnecessarily by causing the mother to go through the sota procedure. So rather, Tosfos says the point of what the Braisa is saying is, even if the kinui took place when she was pregnant, we're still fine. We'll wait until she gives birth, but we're not going to say that. Now let's consider. Suppose that she was pregnant from somebody else and he married her, where we said he wasn't supposed to marry her in the first place. And her mayor says they have to divorce permanently, and the chacham say only temporarily. What would happen if he did the kinui when she was pregnant, and then she gave birth, and then the baby died, or she miscarried, or whatever? Still, you would say at the time when he did the kinui, she wasn't in position to be drinking, because again, they weren't supposed to have gotten married. So you would think maybe the same thing is true over here, and therefore the braisa is telling us that no, that over here, since she's pregnant with his own baby, and there's obviously no issue for them to stay married while she's pregnant, then therefore the kinui while she's pregnant will help, but Tosfos learns that they will wait until the baby is born before they actually go through the sota procedure.
So the child is, but just, in other words, they got married regular.
They got married regular, and then she became pregnant. Yeah.
Then she was...
Right. Anyway, therefore.
According to everyone, you would go through.
But I say saying there's no machlokas about that.
Even though it might affect the baby.
That's the thing. According to Rashi, we don't care that it's going to affect the baby. According to Tosfos, we are going to wait until the baby is born or weaned, as the case may be. All it is the Braisa wants us to know that the kinui, while she's pregnant or while she's nursing, is affected.
She has to be separated.
No. When she's muberus and menekas atme, they don't have to be separated. Oh, well, they have to be separated because she becomes a soita. Fine, right. Okay. continues the Braisa, if a young man married an infertile woman or an old woman, the Yeshla Isha Bonim, and in this case, he has a wife and children, so therefore, in other words, so he's already able to be Mekayim Kruvu, and therefore he's allowed to stay married to this one. So therefore, also, therefore, she's allowed to, therefore, she would be allowed to drink, and therefore, the usual rule applies. Either she drinks or she forfeits her ksuba. And other cases, continues the Braisa, cases where she's also to marry into the regular kohol, but she's mutter to her husband. For example, Ashes Mamzer, for example, the wife of a Mamzer, meaning in other words, a woman who is perfectly capable of Pialocha of marrying a Mamzer. So she herself is a Mamzeres, or she's a Giyotas, or what have you, and there's no Isser on her marrying a Mamzer. And the Ashes Nosin la Nosin, or similarly, a wife of a Nosin who's married to a Nosin, the Ashes Ger, as well as the wife of a Ger, the Eved Meshuchro, or a freed slave, the Ilonis, and an Ilonis, all of them, Oshoisa, Olonatos, Ksuba, all of them either drink or forfeit their Ksuba. In other words, they're all regular cases where they could drink. So Nosin is the descendant of the Givonim, the ones who tricked Yeshua and the Jewish people into accepting them as Gerim. And what happened was eventually, once they found out that they deceived the Jewish people, so they made them Chot Ve'etz and Beshoy V'mayim, the water drawers and wood choppers for the Mishkan. That's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether they're also Lover Makal, Daraisa, or Derabon. Rashi learns that it's strictly Derabanan, first Yeshua, and then later on David strengthened Takana for all time. Tosfos learns that they're actually also anyhow because they're from the seven nations. So he says what Yeshua added and what David added is that they're going to be slaves for the Mishkan and for the Jewish people forever. They're a group among the Jewish people where though they're not allowed to intermarry freely with the Jewish people, whether Daraisa or Derabanan. Thus far the Braisa. Tosfos, by the way, points out in this connection that the key thing really is when did the kinui take place? Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, for example, in this case over here about having a wife and children earlier, where again the Braisa is saying that she is able to drink. So what happens, Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, what happens if he had a different wife and children? So therefore he was Mekayim Pruavu at the time of the Kinui, but then between the Stira, they passed away. So now on the face of it, maybe you should say this woman is not Isha Ru'uyaloi anymore, because now it turns out he hasn't been Mekayim Pruavu. Nevertheless, once the Kinui took place at a time when she would have been capable of drinking, then we still go ahead with it. We still, we don't say that now she's not Roy to him anymore, because at the time of the Kinui, she was Roy because he had been Mekayim Pruavu. She would be getting the drink. So in other words, we're talking about he's married to two wives, Rachel and Leah. With Leah, he had children. Rachel is an Akoro, Ruskeno, or what have you.
He dies.
Now after that, Leah and her children die. So now he's back to, he hasn't been Mekayim Pruavu. Pruavu is not only to have children, it's also ultimately those children have to grow up and have children of their own. So now it turns out that he hasn't done Pruavu. So now is he allowed to be married to Rachel? She's an Akora on the face of it. But the Chachamim are saying, the Chachamim don't hold of this concept, marry somebody else. Rabbi Lazar holds of that. The Chachamim say it has to be, at least that it has to be, like we're saying in the Braisa, that at the time of the Kinui, he had already children. So now the Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, in this scenario, yes, then Rachel will still be able to go ahead and drink, because after all, at the time of the Kinui, she was in a position to. So the fact that later on Leah and her children died doesn't change that, right? Anyway, the Gemara says, Katoni Mia Ilonis. Anyway, the Braisa mentions the case of Ilonis. And it says that she drinks. So Tiufta did Rav Nachman. So isn't that a contradiction on Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman, we said before, says that Rav Elazar and the Chachamim are arguing only about the case of Akora and Skena. But Ilonis, they both agree because she's not Darko Lazria. But now the Braisa is saying that the Ilonis does drink, and the Braisa is not even presenting a machlokas about it. So Tiufta did Rav Nachman. So you have a contradiction on Rav Nachman. The answer is Amalach Rav Nachman Tanoi. Rav Nachman will tell you, in fact, it is a machlokas Tanoim. V'amno de Amri Kihai Tana. So when I'm saying that everybody agrees that the Ilonis won't drink, then I'm following a different Tana. The Tanya, as we learn in another brisa, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer Ilonis Lo Shoyse Valena Telis Ksuba. Rav Shimon Elazar says that an Ilonis does not drink the May Sota and does not, if she's a Sota, collect a Ksuba for the same reason. She never niks of Nizra Azara, because the pasuk says she'll be cleansed and she'll have children, implying Misha Davkel Hazria, like Rav Nachman said. It means only a woman who normally is going to be able to have children. Yotzazu Shein Davkel Hazria, as opposed to an Ilonis who's not normally going to have children. So therefore, now the Braisa, this Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar, is only mentioning an Ilonis. So therefore, that's exactly what Rav Nachman is saying, that when it comes, Rav Nachman is assuming, in other words, that Rav Shimon Elazar holds the same as Rav Elazar. That's not necessarily, Rav Shimon Elazar is not necessarily the son of Rav Elazar. It might be his father is a different Rav Elazar, but whatever the case, we're going to assume that he holds like him. And therefore, in other words, that so he's saying, that an Akora and Skena can drink, and that doesn't even matter really whether he had another wife and children at the time, because Rav Elazar says he can always marry one later. But an Ilonis, to begin with, is excluded whether he has another wife and children or not, because of the words Vinix of Nizer Azara. So therefore, Rav Nachman is following that in saying that, Rav Nachman is saying that I'm following that when I say that everybody agrees. What I mean is, and the Mishnah Melech actually explains, in other words, Rav Nachman knew that there's machlokas tanoim about that. He knew that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar. Therefore he explains the Mishnah like him. So that takes care of that. And also, the Achronim point out anyway that since precisely because Rav Shimon Elazar only mentions Ilonis, then it means, in other words, that we have to say that Rav Shimon Elazar is going to agree with Rav Elazar and says that there can be cases where an Akoro was going to drink, but he doesn't mention Ilonis. Tosfos had wondered before why it was that the Braisa didn't mention Ilonis together with Akoro Uskena. Now we have sort of an answer to that, because in fact with Ilonis, Rav Nachman at least would hold is in fact different. Okay, so the Gemara asked Rabbanan. Now what about, though, we did have the previous Braisa that said that the Ilonis could drink. So hi, the Nix of Nizra Azara Mai Abdulai. So what do they do with that pasuk? So the answer is Mibolahu L'chidetanya. They use it to teach a different thing that it says in a different braisa. When it says v'nix of Nizra Azara, we learn from that Shim Hoisa Kora Nifkedes Divrei Rav Akiva. So Rav Akiva says, we learn from that, if until now this woman had not had children, then as a result of going through the process of the Sota and coming through it with flying colors, Hashem will bench her with a child.
It's getting up to be also possible.
No, fine, but we're talking about a regular case. Well, that's why we're saying not an Ilonis, because an Ilonis, Bader Chateva, she can't have children at all. You have, you can have them. Look, it says about Sarah that she was an Ilonis, but come on, in Maskeud and Maisin. The Gemara actually in Yuvamis. Right. So no, the Gemara, the Pasuk says Akora, because the Pasuk doesn't use the word Ilonis, but the Gemara explains that she was an Ilonis, yeah.
Meaning
she's not fertile, but her body never develops like the way a woman's body would normally develop. So Rav Akiva says that now it means if until now she was infertile, if she didn't have children until now, then Hashem will bench her with a child. When you get down to it, the fact is she still did do wrong by doing the stira, but nevertheless, all the humiliation that she went through and everything, like earlier in the Masechta, is that Hashem therefore compensates her, so to speak, by giving her a child.
Wait.
So Rabbi Shmuel says, one second, in that case, then all infertile women are going to do that. They're all going to go and hide themselves with someone, seclude themselves with somebody else in order to have a child. So you're telling me if you have a sneistic woman and she doesn't want to do that, then she's going to lose out? Ella. So rather, Rabbi Shmuel says that's not what the pasuk imkain matam lemon nixov in Israel zara. So what does the pasuk mean? It means shem hoisi yoledes b'tzar. If until now she was giving birth in pain, yoledes b'revach, then Hashem will make it that from now on she has her children more easily. Nekevis, if until now she was having only girls, yoledes schorim, she'll start having boys. Katsarim, if until now she was having short children, yoledes aruchim, then she'll have tall children. Where the Gemara, by the way, elsewhere mentions that Hashem himself, so to speak, is proud of having created tall people. So therefore, having children who grow up to be tall is a mila. And shchodim, yoledes levonim, if until now she had children who were dark skinned, then now she'll have ones who are fair skinned and therefore look nicer. The point is, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that no, if she wasn't having children until now, because of going through the sota process, she's not going to now. Tosfos asks, Rabbi Shmuel can object the same thing. And if you have a woman who until now was, having difficult births, then she's going to want to go and become a sota in order to have easier births and so on and so forth. And what if a woman is theistic, she lose out? So Tosfos leaves the question unanswered. Maharsha says, very simple. A woman, when she doesn't have children at all, she's going to be desperate to do anything, even becoming a soita if necessary. We find in the Gemara in Brachas that Chana, so to speak, threatens Hashem with that. She says in her tefillah before she has a baby, when she's been infertile for 20 years, she says to Hashem, Im ro'i sira, and the Gemara explains in Brachas that she's saying, Im ro'i, if you look at me and give me a child, then good, and if not, tira, I'm going to force the issue and you're going to have to look at me because I'm going to become a soita, and I'm going to become a soita, and you're going to have to bench me with a child. So Maharsha says, in other words, exactly that. When a woman doesn't have a child at all, she's going to be desperate to take any measures up to including that. But if it's just that she's been having difficult births or only girls or so on and so forth, she's not going to go to such extremes. A couple of other achronim, the Tzlach talks about, the Noda Behud, the Tzlach talks about, the Baal Afla talks about another point as well. When you think about it, any time a woman becomes a soita, she's taking a risk. After all, we learned before, her husband could decide he doesn't want to give her the mei soita, and then that's it. They have to get divorced. She'll get her ksuba, but they still have to get divorced. So the vort is the tzlach and the hafla explain. In other words, therefore, a woman who's just having difficult births, who is having short children or whatever, is not going to go to this extreme of becoming a soita. On the one hand, it might work out, like Rabbi Shmuel is saying, and she's going to have children. She's going to have better children or easier births or whatever. On the other hand, there's also the chance her husband might divorce her, and then that's it. She's not going to have children with him at all. As opposed to when she doesn't have children anyhow, she may figure she has nothing to lose, because according to Rabbi Akiva, because if she's infertile, eventually her husband may divorce her anyhow. So therefore, she may be willing to take this risk. So in any case, that would answer Rabbi Shmuel of why Rabbi Shmuel's objection against Rabbi Akiva, that there's a difference between not having children at all versus having difficult births or what have you.
What I think is that when that goes through this whole thing, everyone knows about it, and they run to check the shidduch, whatever it is.
Maybe, bad, you know, it's, maybe. Okay. Anyway, the point is, in other words, so therefore, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are learning from a nixiv in Israel Zara. They're learning not that it tells us about who's eligible to drink mei soita, namely Ilonis or not, but rather it teaches us what Hashem is going to do for her as a result of having gone through this whole ordeal. So therefore, the Chachamim, who said in the Braisa, in the long Braisa before, that an Ilonis could drink, they're saying because Vinixa Vinizra Azara is not meant to exclude an Ilonis. So therefore, as long as the husband has another wife with whom to do Puruvu, then it doesn't matter the fact that this wife is an Ilonis and she'd still be able to drink the Mesota. Now let's go through some other details in that braisa. We said Eishes Ger ve'Eved Meshuchar of Ilonis. We said the wife of a Ger, or Eishes Mamzer l'Mamzer. We said the wife of a Mamzer who's married to a Mamzer is also eligible to drink the Meisota. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? And after all, they're allowed to be married. And the answer is You might have thought, without the Braisa telling us, we don't want to increase the number of psulim in the world. The fact is that a mamzer's children for his descendants for all time are also considered mamzerim. So therefore, maybe we don't want to cause them to reconcile and have children, and then that's going to create more mamzerim in the world. Kamash Malan, therefore, the Braisa is telling us, nevertheless, that's not the case. Even with them, Hashem still wants there to be shalom bias between them and to allow his name to be erased and for them to have children and so forth.
It's allowed to get married and have mamzer.
To begin with, mamzer is allowed to get married. A mamzer can marry another mamzeres. So he can also marry, he can also marry a giyoris. Yeah, but Kedushin, it talks about an opinion over there, I think, according to Shimon Elazar, I think it is, I don't remember, Shimon Amniel maybe, anyway, that says that that a mamzer can actually marry a shifcha and then free her, so that way his children will be avodim mishachrodim rather than mamzerim. But anyway, under normal circumstances, he either marries a Jewish woman, either another mamzeres or giyoris or what have you.
And their children can marry.
And their children also, no, we forget Kohen, their children are mamzerim. They can't marry into the Jewish people at all.
It's a big problem.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So you would have thought that maybe we don't want to increase the number of mamzerim in the world, kamash malon, that we're not worried about that. Okay. Next, we said Eishes Ger ve'Evin Meshuchar Vayelonis. We said the Braisa mentions also the wife of a ger, a freed slave, where for most purposes a freed slave has the same dinim as a regular ger, vayelonis, as well as an ilonis. Okay, I'll go to Sabach takes that vayelonis, because we're not really going to be discussing her now. We're going to be focusing on the wife of the ger and the Evin Meshuchar. So again, the question is pshita. Isn't that obvious? Why would we think that that such wives shouldn't be able to drink the Meisaita? And the answer is Ma'u detema daber of Bnei Israel. You might have thought that since the pasuk says speak to Bnei Yisrael, that means Bnei Yisrael means v'loy geirim, so maybe it doesn't include geirim. Kamash malon. So therefore, the Braisa is telling us now. Maybe indeed, Taka, how do you know that Bnei Yisrael for this purpose includes geirim as well? The answer is v'amar to ribuyahu. The answer is fine, but it doesn't just say dabar Bnei Yisrael. It says v'amar to aleihem. The word v'amar to is a ribuy to include also the geirim and to include also the wives of geirim and avodah meshuchararim.
But it says clearly all over that once she freed, she becomes a full slave.
That's true. Nonetheless, though, sometimes we still have that. Sometimes Bnei Yisrael means born Jews as opposed to Gerim. So therefore, the Gemara thought that here it might be the case also, and we need the word Ramauta to tell us otherwise. A kohen can't marry their children. Tosfos actually points out that at the beginning of the parak we use the word Ramauta for the drosha about the Arusa and Shemeres Yavam. But an answer could be Rashi had said over there, Rashi's Girsa had been over there, that we actually learn it from the word Alehem rather than Ramauta. So Ramauta, then we'd be learning the Gerim, and on Alehem, we'd be learning the Arusa and Shemeres Yavam.
That they're not allowed.
That the Arusa and Shemeres Yavam, that Kinui will work. How do we know that Kinui, Bechlal, works for them? If they can't drink the Meisota, maybe Kinui is ineffective also. And then from Alehem, we learn that Kinui is effective. But then they can't drink the Meisota unless the stira took place only afterwards. Okay. Next, we said, Eishes Kohen Shosahola. We said the wife of a Kohen can also drink the Meisota. Again, isn't that obvious? Why should a Kohen be any different than a Yisrael in that regard? And the answer is Ma'ud Tema. You might have thought, since the Pasuk says, V'hi lo nisposa, and when we learn from that, Asura, the Pasuk is saying, if she wasn't raped, then she's also to her husband as a Soita, implying Honisposa Muteris. And the implication from that is, if she was raped, then she is mutter, because even though again, you know, we're talking about maybe she shouldn't have been in stira with this guy, but the fact is it wasn't consensual. Therefore, if her husband's Yisrael, she doesn't become usher to him. Vizu hayovin esposa asura. Now, a wife of a kohen is not like that. We know even if she gets raped, she's still usher to her husband. So therefore, ema loy tishta. So maybe you would think she doesn't drink. In other words, Tosfos Shantz teaches out that you would think, maybe in other words, or actually Rashi already says, the whole point is, maybe the entire parasha is Bechlal not addressing a Kohen's wife at all. Because by saying those words, the Torah is implying that when do you have the procedure of a Soita, when you have a marriage, where if she were to get raped, she'd be mutter to her husband, implying, but not one where she wouldn't be, namely the wife of a Kohen. So you would think maybe the whole parasha is not even talking about a Kohen and his wife. So therefore, Kamash Malon. So therefore the Braisa tells us otherwise, that no, the wife of a Kohen is included in the parasha, and therefore that she could drink Meisaita. She could, yes. It is true that if she was raped, she's going to be also to her husband, but as long as she wasn't, and the whole Soita procedure has to take place, then it can take place even though she's the wife of a Kohen. Tosfos wonders, by the way, why is it when it came to the ger, the Gemara asked, after the Gemara brought the drosha from the word v'amarta, the Gemara said, or actually the Gemara had said, after it had brought from the Braisa of the Kamash Malon, the Gemara said, maybe takazoi, and it had to bring the word v'amarta to tell us otherwise. Why, by the wife of the Kohen, is the Gemara not doing the same thing? Why isn't the Gemara saying, maybe takazoi, because it says v'hilo nisposa is meant to exclude the wife of a Kohen, and then the Gemara should have to bring a pasuk for it. Why doesn't it do it? So in other words, exactly that. So we're saying, when it, let's look at
the actually
means raped.
Oh.
In other words, like this, again, when it comes to the wife of a ger, what was the flow of the Gemara? We said, we would have thought that maybe the wife of a ger shouldn't drink because it says Dabar of an Israel. So then the Braisa tell us otherwise. Right. And the Gemara says, well, maybe Takazoi. How does the Braisa know differently? And the answer is because it says V'amarta. Why does the Gemara go through the same thing with the Kohen? If you're telling us, we would have thought to exclude the wife of a Kohen because V'hilo nisposa. And the Braisa is telling us otherwise. Shouldn't the Gemara ask, V'ema hochinami, maybe Takazoi, where does the Braisa know not to douche in V'hilo nisposa that way? But it doesn't. So Tosfos says the reason is because Look, we know that we know from the way Moshe was taught to Torah Shabbat Peh, Har Sinai, that that the Hilo Nisposa is not meant to is not meant to ask the wife of a Kohen. So once we establish that, once we've stated that point, then we don't need to ask on it. Only when you have many times, we do find sometimes that the word Bnei Yisrael does exclude Gerim. Therefore, the Gemara was saying, since we find elsewhere that Bnei Yisrael sometimes excludes Gerim, how do we know that in this case it's not like that? And the answer is because of the Ribri from Gram Arta. In the case of the wife of the Kohen, since we have no basis for saying that the Hilo Nisposa should exclude the wife of a Kohen, except that we were asking, how tackle do we know that not? And the answer is it doesn't, then that's it. The Gemara doesn't have to ask anything further. Now, we said that the wife of a Kohen drinks and would teres the baila, and she's mutter to her husband. So again, the Gemara asks Pita, obviously, once she went through the sota procedure and she came out of it alive, then she's mutter to her husband, like any other sota.
But the maybe, how about this? Maybe says she could live 3 years.
So, Amar Rav Huna, but Miss Snazma. So Rav Huna answers, you're talking about where her health already is deteriorating. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? The Snazma Hombad Kormaya. That's exactly that. If her health is already going downhill, then it means that the water did test her. And all it was is, as we learned a few days ago, that that she had schus that suspends her punishment for 1 or 2 or 3 years. So obviously, therefore, she was Mizana. How could she be mutter to her husband? So the answer is, the Misnabna Derech Evorim. We're talking about that her health is deteriorating in other parts of her body. Now, if the Mei Soita is going to be having an effect on her, then it would be having an effect on the body parts mentioned in the pasuk, her stomach and her thigh. So now, if we see that there are other parts of her body that are being affected, then that shows, in other words, so that's not, we don't consider that to be as a result of the Mei Soita. So Rashi gives an example. If she has headaches or other limbs feel heavy, so now you would think, so Maudetema, still you would think, why is that happening? Hazanuye Zanoi, maybe indeed she was Mizana, but the reason why the water didn't work in the normal way, because it was Ba'onis. In other words, we might say like this, look, there was Kidu, there was Stira. So she already did wrong by being in Stira with this guy. Now, what ended up happening was, instead of it being consensual, he raped her. Now, in the case of a Yisrael's wife, that wouldn't make her also to him, because again, as long as or rather, in the case of a Yisrael's wife, given that rape doesn't make her also to him, then fine, she could still go through the Sota procedure. As long as we don't have Ede Tuma, as usual, then she could go through the Sota procedure. She'll be mutter to her husband, because it's fine. Even if there were an Edim that ended up coming and saying that there was Onus, she's still going to be mutter to him. But in the case of a Kohen's wife, where Onus is also, in the case of a Kohen, that after all, the onus would make her usur. And we would say, in other words, so we would say like this, when she drinks the sota water, if she was actually guilty of doing it with her own consent, then you'll have her stomach and her thigh will be affected and she'll explode. But if it was ba'onis, and after all, she did do wrong by being in stira with the guy in the first place, then Hashem will cause other parts of her body will be affected. So therefore, we would say that if other parts of her body are being affected, we have to be concerned that there was something did happen over here, just that it was ba'onis, and therefore she's not being punished with betin and yerech, but she's still also to her husband. Kamash Malan. Therefore, the Braisa is telling us that no, the mei soita have no effect at all if it was ba'onis. So therefore, if she's having headaches or other things, okay, then it has nothing to do with the Meisota, and therefore she remains mutter to her husband.
But even like by Yisrael, she wouldn't say, she wouldn't have to tell him, listen, I was still, but I was raped. And
if she tells him, fine. If not, then not. I don't think she's obligated to tell him. She's not necessarily obligated to tell him. And if she did, I don't know that we'd accept it. But whatever, the point is that there are halachas in Shulchan Aruch, actually, in certain cases where a woman was in a situation that might make her also to her husband. There are dinim about if she tells her husband he has the right to believe her and to use that as a basis for divorcing her, but he doesn't necessarily have to. There's all kinds of cases, now that you mention it, there's all kinds of cases in Shiloh Fetrovus of cases like that where women admitted that something had happened, and then the question is the husband obligated to believe her or not? But anyway.
Well, he could say, I mean, not now, but those somebody said, listen, I was raped, but if you don't believe it, then I'll go ahead and drink the water.
Okay, so maybe. But in any case, the point is, with the wife of a Kohen, where you don't have that out for onus, so if we're saying, though, if she has headaches and other body problems or whatever, okay, that doesn't mean necessarily that it came from the Mei Soita. And in fact, the Rambam, in fact, writes in a similar vein when we said before that the May Sota, the punishment may be suspended for 1 or 2 or 3 years. So even though it is true that during that time her health will be deteriorating, nevertheless she remains mutter to her husband until it actually starts affecting her thigh or her stomach. Then already we know it's from the May Sota, and then it shows that that she was in fact Mizana. Then we said in the Mishnah. So now we've gone through the entire Braisa. Now getting back to the Mishnah, we said Eisha Sris Shoisa. We said the wife of a Sris is also able to drink the Sota water. So in the Mishnah, Rashi had defined that we're talking about where he married her, he was still normal, and afterwards Nistaris, afterwards he became infertile. Here Rashi explains that we mean he's a Sris Chama. He was born, he's the male equivalent of an Ilonis. His body never physically matures, and he's never able to have children. We learned the other day, Marashah says that the one in Rashi on the Mishnah may have been a Gilyon, it may have been a note written on the side where somebody accidentally incorporated it into Rashi, and that the primary explanation should be what we say over here. Anyway, Rashi points out, the point is that if she's a Swiss Adam, he wouldn't be able to stay married to her anyway. Suadako, Kurus Shofka, is not allowed to be married to a regular Jewish woman. Tosfos objects and says, what's the problem? It could always be that he became a Swiss by drinking a potion or something. That doesn't necessarily mean that he'd be also to marry her. No, so that's the thing. Tosfos saying it doesn't have to be he was born that way. If he drank a potion that made him infertile, but there was no actual physical injury to the relevant parts, then Tosfos learns he'd still be mutter to stay married to her. Anyway. So again, so the question is Asus Shrishchota. The question is Pshita. Isn't that obvious? The answer is Ma'u Detema. You might have thought, since the Pasuk says, Mibal Ade Ishech Omer Achmana, the Pasuk says that the Kohen warns her if you had relations with anybody except for your husband. In this case, the Swiss is not capable of having relations with her. Or at least even if he's capable of having relations, he's not capable of fathering children. So you would think that maybe the Pasuk is excluding her. Kamash Malan, therefore, the Braisa is telling us that no, that's not what it means. It means that you have to have Kodma Shivas Baal Laboyal, but more than that, you don't need. You don't need that the husband himself is capable of having children. Yeah. Okay. The Mishnah had also said, Alidei Kol Arayis Mekane. You're able to do kinui based on any arayas. So we said, for example, the husband can warn her, don't be alone with your husband, or with your father, or with your brother, or whatever, and that's a valid kinui. So again, the Gemara asks Pshita, isn't that obvious? Why, if he has reason to suspect that she's being mizana with them, then why shouldn't he be able to be mekane? And the answer is Ma'u Detema. Otherwise, without the Mishnah telling us, we would have thought, since the Pasuk says nitma shnei parmim, it says twice the word nitma, and we learn in the next parak, echad labal ve'echad laboil, we learn from that that one teaches us that she's also to the husband once she becomes a soita, and the other one teaches us that she's also to the boil. So you would think heichad kamitzura b'hoznus. You would think that applies only where she becomes also to the boil with this nus avolha. But in the case, for example, her father, her brother, whatever, hoyov asur b'kaima, she's already also to him regardless. Emalo, you would think maybe not. Kamash malon, and therefore the braisa is telling. Therefore, the Mishnah rather is telling us that no, there's no difference. The kinui about her father or brother or whatever would work as well. Tosfos points out, now you have in the same vein, what about, for example, the Almon of a Kohen Gadol? She was also tame in the first place. The difference is that, Tosfos says that the fact is his bia would passel her. So therefore it can be included. The Almon of the Kohen Gadol, for example, she's still mutter to marry. An Almon of the Kohen Gadol is a similar idea. In other words, also that she becomes also. Actually, Marashah explains that Tosfos kind of leaves the question unanswered. The Marashah tries to be doichik in Tosfos, that Tosfos is giving an answer, but Marashah says that no, Tosfos is just leaving the question open why we need a separate limud for it.
He got pet for that,
right? Yeah, he gets Malchus for it, but nevertheless, fine. You could say though that there's a difference between whether she was also from beforehand versus now you're saying that now you're creating a new isser on the husband and on the boy. Also, we're saying that anyway. Okay, we said chutz min hakotan v'chola. We said with the exception of he can't do kinui about a cotton. So why? Because ish amar nachmana v'loy cotton. Because the pasuk says ish meaning not a cotton. Here you have a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. What age cotton are we talking about? Now we know that a cotton from 9 years old is beer, is a beer. It has an effect in halacha, but until 13 years old, he's still a cotton. Tosfos learns that we're talking about that the cotton is 9 years old, so he's already old enough for his beer to be a beer. Nevertheless, because he's not an ish, the Torah is saying that even though his beer would be enough to aser her, nevertheless, the husband can't be mekane about him because he's still a cotton. On the other hand, the Rambam learns that no, what we mean is a child below nine. If he's mekane to her, he has reason to think that she's being mezana with a boy below 9 years old. Since that below 9 year old is beer, is not beer, therefore kinui is ineffective about that. If she does do stira with this boy, then she doesn't become usur. But if he was above nine, the Rambam learns that yes, kinui would be effective because the fact is his beer is a valid beer.
So then
she would drink it. Okay. Then we said we said also if he's mekane of somebody who's not an ish, so we have to figure out what that means. So lama'uti mai, as opposed to what? So ilay lama'uti shochuf. Are you going to say that it comes to exclude a shochuf? A shochuf with somebody. Rashi explains that his body, his muscles and whatever are worn out and dried up, and he has no koyach. So in particular, he has no ability to have a kishui and to be able to do bia. The Meiri actually learns, and then Mefoshim explained that it seems that Rashi and Tosfos would have to agree with that as well. That he can become at least poor, he is sometimes at least able to achieve at least a partial kishui, because otherwise the Gemara is going to discuss the question of whether he asks her. The fact is, if it's completely limp, then the Gemara establishes elsewhere that's not considered bia at all, so it wouldn't ask her. The Rambam says flat out that it means that ena miskasha ena molid, he's incapable of developing a kishui and he's incapable of fathering children. But the Meiri learns that he is capable at least of getting a partial kishui, and Rashi and Tosfos, it seems, maybe agree with that as well. Anyway, what we're talking about then is, so you're going to say that it comes to exclude him. So what do you mean? Shmuel says that no, a shochuf, the husband can do kinui regarding him if he has reason to suspect that the wife is being mezana with him. And in fact, if he does do bia with a woman to the extent that he can do bia, it would actually pass her from truma if he's also to her. So. So therefore, so you see that the Mishnah is she'eino ish can't be including a shochuf. So first, so the Gemara interjects. The Gemara says, "Mekanan al yodei pshita." Well, then we have to ask: isn't it obvious that kinui would work, given again that he is able to do a certain degree of bia? So the answer is ma'ud tamei. Still, you would have thought, since the pasuk says v'shocham ish oisa shichvas zera amar achmana, since the pasuk says that he lies with her shichvas zera v'hola bar hochihu, and he's not capable of that. Kamash malon. Therefore, Shmuel is telling us that no, kinui does work with a shochuf. But therefore, so now that brings the question then. So what is the Mishnah excluding him then? And again, when the Braise said a post of the Turma Pshita, isn't it obvious if he's capable of doing a certain degree of bia that he would pass a woman from eating Turma if she was the wife or daughter or whatever of a Kohen? If she's the wife of a Kohen, then it doesn't matter how he's related to her, because he's an Ashes ish. She's off limits to everybody but her husband. If she's the daughter of a Kohen, you mean if he's a Cholol or a Goy or what have you. Yeah. Anyway, so again, Pshita, isn't that obvious? It was a B after all. And the answer is, you would think maybe since the Pasuk says in this week's parasha that he shouldn't desecrate his children, meaning that the children are going to become Chalolim. So you would think maybe we learn from that the Isle Zera Lechalol, only a man who's capable of fathering children is going to be Mechalol, a woman with his Bia. The Lesle Zera, but if he doesn't, Loy Lechalol, then it doesn't work. Kamash Mulan, therefore Shmuel is telling us that now. Anyway, the bottom line is a shochuf is subject to her being alone with a shochuf is subject to kinui just like anybody else. So therefore, the commissioner can't be excluding a shochuf when it says eina ish. So the Gemara tries the elul ma'uti ovid kachavim. So maybe you're going to say the Mishnah wants to exclude a goy. So if the husband has reason to suspect that his wife is being with a goy, then he can't be mekane for her. Maybe you would say, in other words, now of course. Now, of course, a goy is usually called ish, but maybe the Mishnah, when it says einoi ish, maybe it means, in other words, that Tosfos HaRosh explains, after all, elsewhere, there's a pasuk that compares their bia to the bia of animals, so maybe to that extent is not enough to trigger the sota procedure. The problem with that is, no, Rav Hamnuna says that a goy, you could be mekane because of him, just as much as with a yid, or posel a truma, and if he has relations with a woman, then he'll pass along from truma. So again, the Gemara discusses why Rav Hamnuna needs to mention these points. Mekanen al yodah pshita, isn't it obvious that you can be mekane? Why should we think anything different? And the answer is, like we said before, ma'ud tema nitma shtei pamim. We said before it says nitma twice in the pasuk, from which we learn echad l'baal ve'echad l'boil. So you could argue heichad to come mitzra b'haznus. You could say maybe kinnery is only where she becomes also to him through this znus. But when it comes to her and a goy, she's anyway also to a goy anyway. So you would think maybe kinnery is not effective. Therefore, Rav Hamnuna is telling us otherwise. Now Tosfos points out again, didn't we have the case of her relatives before, where we said that kinnery works even though she's also to them anyway? Tosfos says, fine. The difference is that relative is also to marry her or have to have relations with her, but he'd be able to marry a different Jewish woman as opposed to a goy is off limits to any Jewish woman. So you would have thought, therefore, that maybe he's not included, and therefore Rav Hamnuna tells us that not. And again, poisel b'truma, and that we say that a goy having relations with a Jewish woman passels her from truma. So again, pshita, isn't that obvious? And by the way, not just a wife or daughter of a kohen, also a bas yisrael. Once she's had relations with a goy, she's also to marry a kohen. And if she does, then she still won't be able to eat truma. Anyway, so pshita, and the answer is ma'u detema. You would think, since the pasuk says, again in this week's parasha, uvas koyin kisil ishazor omrachmana, the pasuk says, would have a vas koyin siya, where the word tia, the word havaya, usually refers to kiddushin, to an ishazor, to a non-koyin, omrachmana, the pasuk says, so you would say, devar havaya ein, delar bar havaya loy, maybe the whole concept applies only to somebody who's capable of doing kiddushin with her, but not somebody who's not. A goy is not capable of kiddushin. Kamash Malan depasel. Nevertheless, Rav Hamnuna tells us that he does passel her, and the reason he passels her is mid Rav Yechanan, is based on what Rav Yechanan said. The Amr Rav Yechanan, Mishum Rav Shmuel. How do we know that if a goy or an eved, who for this purpose has the same dinim as a goy, an eved knani that is, had relations with a kahenes or levia or bas yisrael, that they passel her from ever marrying a kohen or eating truma? Because the pasuk says a bas kohen kisi almonu or grusha. The pasuk says if a bas kohen becomes a widow or divorcee, then she can go back to eating truma if she has no children, implying mish yeshle almonus gerushin ba safakev. It means only where the concept of being widowed or divorced would apply to him, as opposed to a goy or an eved, since kedushin are not toifus in the first place, then therefore it's impossible to be an almona or a grusha from him. So the pasuk is implying by that that if they have relations with her, then she's forever barred from eating truma. Rashi, by the way, mentions the Gemara in Yevamos discusses this extensively and says, so what? So you have the pasuk siya, which implies that there needs to be kiddushin toifus. On the other hand, you have this word amono grusha, which implies that when somebody is when kiddushin are not toifus, then she's posel forever. How do you know? Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe we learn from siya that it has to be somebody who's capable of kiddushin with her, and amono grusha would teach us that only then is it that then when she becomes an amono grusha, she's mutter. But in other words, if a goy has relations with her, he would not posel her. So Rashi says the Gemara there in Yevamos learns from other psukim that it's not so, that in fact it is going to be like Rav Hamnuna says over here, that he is going to pass over. Okay. So the Elul Ma'uti Mai. So we're still back to the question. By the way, Tosfos Shantz brings over here a very interesting point that the regular Tosfos discusses elsewhere in Shas. What happened, Bechlal, when we say that a woman who's mizana is also to her husband, would that apply, and we say, Kishem Shasur Labao, Kachasur Laboyo, does that point apply if she had relation to the goy? And Tosfos brings a case that there was a Jewish woman who had become a Shemedes, Rahman Latzlan, and she married a goy. Eventually, she did tshuva. The question is that now she left her goyish husband. Now the question is she allowed to return to her Jewish husband? Rabbi Natam allowed it. Because he said the fact that she was mizana with a goy, for that purpose, the goy is considered like a behema, and therefore it wouldn't ask her to her husband. The halacha in the end is not like that. The halacha is if she was mizana berotzen, then she's also to her husband, whether the guy was a Jew or a goy. But Rabbeinu Tam held differently. But anyway, so we're back to the question: what does the word ve'eno ish in our Mishnah come to exclude? So I'm going to put the word behema. It comes to exclude an animal. The ends but behema. If a woman has relations with an animal, it's obviously also, but it's not considered znus. She doesn't become a zoina as a result of it. And therefore, if the husband tells her don't be alone with this animal, even if she does, that doesn't make her also to him. Where are we getting that from? Where do we get this idea that ain't znus behema? So dichtiv, the pasuk says lo savi esnan zoyna mechir kalav behema. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to bring as korbanos esnan zoyna, the payment that was given to a zoyna. So for example, a man gives a sheep to a woman and says this will be a payment for me having relations with you. Then that sheep cannot be brought as a korban. And mechir kalav, the exchange of a dog, meaning for example that a person said that Reuven says to Shimon, let's trade your dog for my sheep. Then that sheep becomes also to use as a korban. And the Tanya, now we learn in a brisa, esnan kela v'mechir zoyna mutarin. If you have the esnan, the payment, the fee for a zoyna, that in connection with a dog. So Rashi gives an example that a person says to a zoyna, here, I want you to have relations with my dog. In return, I'll give you this sheep. So if he does, nevertheless, that is, she's doing a serious isser, nevertheless, that sheep does not become also as a korban. So that would be esnan kelev, or mechir zoyna, or the exchange of a zoyna. Suppose, for example, that a person owns a shifcha who's a zoyna, and he trades her to somebody else in return for a sheep. That sheep doesn't become osir. So mutarin, those are mutar. Shenema gam shnehem, because the pasuk says, the two of them are osir, implying shnayim v'lo yaba. Only two things are also not four. So in other words, only esnan of zoyna, only mechir of kelev, not the other way around, because then you'd have four things, esnan and zoyna, esnan of kelev, mechir of zoyna, mechir of kelev, and the pasuk is telling us that you only have two. So the point therefore being that now if you're going to say that having relations with an animal is considered znus, then you would have that esnan kelev would be osir, because it would be esnan zoyna. In effect, it would just be esnan zoyna under another name. You would say the same way as if Reuven says to Shimon, I want to have relations with your shifcha, here's a sheep, then that's considered esnan zoyna. The same way if Reuven says to Shimon, I want your shifcha to have relations with my dog, he was a sheep. If we're going to say that that's also considered znus, then that's exactly esnan zoyna. The fact that the braisa is telling us that we exclude it shows that that's not considered znus for this purpose. So by the same token over here, then if he tells his wife, don't be alone with this animal, even if it does end up being having relations with that animal, it's not considered something that would ask her to her husband. So the question is, well, the question then becomes, we said before in the Braisa, or we mentioned before in the Gemara, the Pasuk says, so then we said the word Shichvas Zera is not coming to exclude a Shochuf, because we said even though a Shochuf is not capable of being Mazria, nevertheless he still asks her. So then what does the word Shichvas Zera come to exclude? So the answer is, we use it for what we learn in a Braisa. It means shichvasera as opposed to something else, a different kind of relation. Well, my dover acher, what do we mean by that? It means as opposed to if he warned her about shaloi kadavka, he told her don't be alone with this guy to have relations with him shaloi kadavka. So that wouldn't make her, so even though he gave her such a warning, that wouldn't be considered a kinui, she wouldn't become osur. Because the fact is, it has to be that he gives her a warning not to have relations with her in the regular way. Rashi elsewhere explains two possibilities. Actually, Rashi and Yevamos brings a couple of possibilities. Either that he just tells her alti susri imploini generally, but he knows that all the only concern right now is shaloi kadavka. He knows for whatever he has reason to suspect that that's the only thing they've been doing, or that he says specifically, don't do shaloi kadavka. Tosfos over there explained that Rashi's first explanation is the better one. So it means he told her generically, alti susri, but he knows that all that at most what was going to happen was shaloi kadavka. So one second, that's what we're saying. So on the face, sort of Sheshis is saying, the Braisa is excluding that and saying that's not considered a kinu. But Amalei Rava says, why not? Shaloi Kadauka, Mishkeve Isha. See, the Pasuk says, last week's parasha, Mishkeve Isha, that if a man lies with another man in the lyings of a woman, then they're Chayev Skila. And we learn from the word Mishkeve in plural, meaning that there's two ways that are considered Bia with a woman, Kadauka and Shaloi Kadauka. So Shaloi Kadauka, for almost all purposes in Halacha, is considered the same as Kadauka. And even if he had relations with her Shaloi Kadauka, it would answer her. So you can't say that the Torah is excluding that by the words Shichvas Zera. So Rava says, fine, what we mean is maybe to exclude where he was makane to her, warning her, don't be alone with this guy, where you're just going to have physical contact with him without any beer. So Omole Abaya, Abaya says, how could you say that? Of course that's not a kinui. Pritzusa ba'almini, that's only just being pritzistic, it's being unsneistic. Pritzusa mi osa rahmana. Does the Torah say that that would be enough to ask her a wife to her husband? If we could say, like we learned yesterday, the husband maybe has a mitzvah to divorce her for such a thing, but not to say that it actually makes her formally osa to him. So therefore you can't say, so what are we saying? In other words, we're saying shichvas zera excludes davar acher. But if it's only kiru baser, then of course not. That wouldn't even be enough. Even if they did do kiru baser, they lay together with physical skin to skin contact, that wouldn't be enough to aser her. So of course then, fine, there's no kinri, but there's no stira, there's no anything. So we have to find a case where there's something that would make her aser to her husband, but nevertheless we're saying it's not a valid kinri. So what is that? Ela omar abaya. Prat the shikini lob in shika. So rather, Abaya says you're talking about where the kinri was, that there shouldn't be the first contact of his aver with hers, which is called when a nishika literally means kissing, but it means, in other words, when his aver just touches hers. So the Gemara asks, Honichol amanda omaha roz wachnasa satara. Now, when you vomit, the Gemara presents a machlokas. When the Torah tells us in last week's parasha, the Torah used the word hera, from which we learn that hara, the first stage of bia is already considered bia. You don't need gemar bia, you don't need to be all the way in. But what is the definition of hara? So the Gemara says there are two definitions. So Hanichal Mandar Mahara Zuach Nosa Satora. I can understand then, according to the opinion that says that Hara means when the Atora goes in, the Atora being the area at the area after you have the head of the Aver, which was covered by the Orla, and afterwards you have like a ring left around it afterwards. So once that's inserted, then that's considered Hara, and then that would be considered Bia in Halacha. Ab on the Shik of Aloitomi, but that opinion says that just the touch before that is not considered Bia yet. So then you would say, so fine, you would say that the Pasuk is telling us with the words, shichvasera, that if there was just Nishika, you shouldn't think that's Hara, and therefore Taka won't answer her to him, and therefore the Torah is telling you that Kinui won't be effective for that. But if you say that Hara itself is Nishika, and already as soon as Nishika takes place, already that's considered Bia, and she would be also to him, Ma'ikal Mema, then what are you going to say? Then there doesn't seem to be anything that you're excluding by the words Shichvas Zera. Tosfos actually asks the other way around on the face of it. If you say Hara Zunashika, so it's considered Bia, so the Torah is telling us in this case you exclude it. If you say Hara Zuachnosa Satora and Nashika doesn't count for anything, then why would Tosfos wonder? Why would you even need a Pasuk over here to exclude it? So Tosfos leaves the question open. Macharonim talk about possibilities about it. Anyway, the Gemara answers, after all, we can say, like we tried before, that it means that he warned her, don't be alone, don't have relations with this guy, derech evarim, with physical skin-to-skin contact. Ah, you said before, that doesn't make her also to her husband, it's only princes. We would argue that maybe in fact here the Torah makes it depend on him being makbid or baal hokka kofid, and after all the husband obviously minds it because he specifically warned her against it. Kamash malon. Nevertheless, the Braisa is telling us that it's still not considered a kinui and a stira, and therefore if he does warn her, don't be alone with this guy for kiru baser, and they end up doing that, that's not enough to aser her to him. It's not enough to trigger the whole sota process.
Yeah, but if they have stira.
What we're saying is, again, we have two possibilities that we said before. One second. So we said before that Rashi and Yuvamis explains those two possibilities. Either it means he specifically says, don't be alone with him for Kirov Basar, or it means that he says generically, don't be alone with him, where he knows, he has ways of knowing, that the only thing that ever happened between them is Kirov Basar. And again, Tosfos prefers that explanation. Tosfos Devar Yavamos prefers that explanation. We don't mean that as kinnui itself said only certain kinds of physical contact, but we mean that in practice, we know that that's all that happened. Yeah. Okay. Shukriya, everyone.